in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to open up the sacred truth of his word to us. I would draw your attention to the chapter we read in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and verse 15. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. This 15th verse of the third chapter of Paul's first epistle general. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Dear friends, to sanctify is to be made holy, to be made clean, to be delivered from guilt and sin within our soul. We find this word sanctify throughout the scriptures. Many times, perhaps more times, in the Old Testament than we do in the New. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, to sanctify. We read that in the Old Testament, this sanctification was through obedience to the law. To be clean under the law from their guilt, their duties and responsibilities if they had sinned. We read when Paul wrote to the Hebrews in the New Testament concerning that which was commanded them in the Old. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. That was their offerings for sin. The blood of bulls and goats. The ashes of an heifer in the waters of purification. To be sprinkled on those who were unclean for various reasons. Perhaps the burying of those who were dead, they were then unclean. Before they could partake of the sacrifices and the feasts, they had to cleanse themselves. The priests, before they could administer any of their responsibilities at the sacrifices, they had to sanctify themselves. They had to put away the sin which, or uncleanness in which they'd been involved in. And so we find the word of the Lord to the people was often to do with sanctify yourselves before he would go before them and help them. We read this morning in Joshua, and when they came into the promised land, the children of Israel, they had to sanctify themselves before they crossed over the River Jordan. In other words, they had to put away any sin that was in there. They had to bring their sin offerings. They had to be sprinkled with the water of purification. They had to be holy. Now that is another word for sanctification, is holiness. And this morning when we read Joshua 7, when the people of Ai had won the battle against the children of Israel, and Joshua had fallen before the Lord in that great trial of his faith, there was sin amongst them, the sin of Achan. And the Lord said, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, that put away the cursed thing from among you. Before the Lord would help them against the small city of Ai in any furtherance of conquering the promised land, sin had to be put away from amongst them. Sanctify. Oh dear friends, this is an important term, isn't it? To be sanctified for the blessing of the Lord. Now we're living in days not under the law, but under grace. We're living in days of the grace of God in the gift of his Son. And you know, dear friends, when we consider Christ in all his glorious offices and what he's done, how we should value that precious gift, the unspeakable gift of God sending his own Son into the world. But of him, of Christ, who God is made unto, us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, of whom God is made unto, of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Dear friends, all we have need of for eternal life is found alone in Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul, writing to his first epistle to the Corinthians, he says at the beginning of his epistle, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And that sanctification goes on, called to be saints. Called to be saints. Dear friends, we don't feel, no one feels in this earthly life to be a saint because of the continued nature of sin within us. But those that are in Christ Jesus, they are called in the eyes of God to be saints. For in Christ Jesus there is now no condemnation. There is deliverance from every taint of sin and uncleanness, found holy in Christ Jesus. And dear friends, when we think of this sanctification, well, it's in all aspects, isn't it? Concerning Christ. Again, Paul writing, I think it's this to the Hebrews, speaks how they are sanctified by his blood. Sanctified in the blood of Christ. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. There's the cleansing by his own blood. Oh, what Christ hath done in coming into this world to make filthy sinners such as you and me holy and clean in the sight of the Father. Wasn't it the manner of Jesus' prayer? Oh, that lovely prayer which Jesus spoke to his Father, offered to his Father just before he suffered, when they were left the upper room and were making their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for all those who would believe on him through their word. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Dear friends, what is the truth? The truth is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He is the word of truth. There is only one way where sin could be atoned for. That was by the sacrifice of that which was pure and holy of itself. Christ said, for this purpose I sanctify myself. He was obedient. He fulfilled the law. He was clean. He's referred to by the Father as my righteous servant. And through his obedience of death upon the cross, shedding his blood, oh, the word of truth that through him all sinners for whom he died are saved by his grace. Their sins atoned for. Their sins remembered no more. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Sanctified through Jesus Christ, through the word. But dear friends, we need to know it ourselves inwardly, don't we? As the scripture says in our text, that sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts is to know it for ourselves. And so when Paul wrote, was it to the Romans? Oh, how he said concerning his word to the Gentiles, that I should minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of Christ, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Sanctified by the Holy Ghost, as he said to the Thessalonians, for our word, the gospel, came not in word only, but in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. The truth as it is in Jesus, revealed within our hearts by the Holy Spirit, through which we must learn from him. For all the Lord's people are taught of God. We don't learn these things of ourselves, do we? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Friends, how we need, don't we, that witness and that prayer for the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ in us, the hope of glory, for the cleansing of our souls from all sin, to be made holy. Oh, dear friends, when we think of the work of Christ, who was made like unto his brethren, that those brethren may be made like unto Christ, holy, pure. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called are the sons of God. When Paul writes concerning these things, now scattered throughout all his epistles, his prayer for those of Thessalonica was that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That holy there, not H-O-L-E, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely. Sanctify you completely, make you pure and holy in his sight, without spot. That your soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, this doctrine of sanctification. Oh, it's alone in Jesus Christ, in that shed blood on Calvary's cross. The truth he fulfilled, that only he through that shed blood can, there can be any remission of our sins. And that alone will deliver us from our solemn judgment, which we spoke of solemnly this morning. Oh, the case of Achan, who had sinned under the law, and he perished under the law. Dear friends, if there was no grace of God in the gift of his Son, if there was no sanctification, nothing to make, oh, our souls completely free from sin and iniquity, made completely holy and pure, there would be no one in heaven, would there? You and I wouldn't. Dear friends, to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts is to believe in him by faith. Or to have him as the first and foremost love of your soul. To believe in him by faith and to know that only through Christ you are found acceptable in the sight of God the Father and shall be justified. That's the other work, isn't it? Sanctification, justification. Acceptable in the sight of God in that judgment day. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You know, dear friends, there is some who speak of progressive sanctification. That one grows more holy as one continues in life where he has begun a good work in there. Now, dear friends, I don't find that in Scripture at all. Progressive sanctification. For where Christ hath died, he's paid the price for all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Whether that sin has been already committed, already yet to be committed. All that sin is blotted out in the shed blood of Christ. They are holy and pure in the sight of the Father. There's no progressive sanctification in that respect. The knowledge of the holiness of God and the knowledge of the holiness of Christ and his work. Yes, we may grow in a greater knowledge of it, but we ourselves don't grow more holy through that knowledge. We may grow in grace and the knowledge of God, but the work has been done as of from the beginning. We are holy, we are pure. We are undefiled through the shed blood of Christ revealed in our hearts and by the Holy Ghost. And dear friends, we are to live, yes, in accordance with that holiness revealed within us of Christ, who hath blotted out our transgressions and over all of our sins. And we are to sanctify the Lord our God in our hearts. No, what he hath done, he's done forever. And thus the eternal covenant stands. And sometimes we have the expression regarding an event or an occurrence or something which affects us. Maybe a sickness, especially specifically a trouble. You hear the expression, may it be sanctified to them. May that trouble be sanctified to them. Dear friends, we don't find that expression exactly in the scriptures. We have to be careful what we say. We don't find the term, the grace, the covenant of grace, those three words together in the scriptures. But it's exactly what the scriptures mean. The covenant of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say we hope something will be sanctified to their soul, what do we mean? Oh, they're in sickness. Perhaps they're in great trouble, in threatenings, and they're passing through what we call deep waters, great troubles and trials, tribulations. May the Lord work it together for good. May the Lord bless it, that in through this trouble and this difficulty and this sorrow and whatever it might be, it is used that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. They may come to see themselves more of a sinner and, oh, to know greater the great grace of God in the gift of his Son, the extent of which he's pardoned our sins. Difference in our troubles, they don't come by chance, do they? They're all in the Lord's hand. And the Lord can work them together for good. That we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. I suppose in one way, we could say what we read in the Psalms. When the Psalm of David, which the Lord says through David, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. There's the sanctification. Deliverance from trouble through the power of God. And oh, when it's recognized in the heart what the Lord has done, to bring you through whatever the difficulty, trouble was. He's answered your prayers. He's not dealt with you after your sins. He's had mercy upon you. And you will glorify him. Dear friends, that's the sanctifying the Lord in your hearts, isn't it? That he is holy. He is merciful. He is gracious. I suppose one example we could specifically speak of is that of dear Ruth in the Old Testament. Oh, she was far off outside the commonwealth of Israel when she married Mahlon. And she came into widowhood, a solemn day, thing in those days when women weren't allowed to work as men do. And those three women of Naomi, Ruth and Orpah, were left alone on their own. Orpah returned to her own people, given over to reason, that, oh yes, she could now go seek a husband for herself amongst her own people and have children. But dear friends, that solemn event was sanctified to the soul of Ruth. It turned her to seek to be one of the Lord's people. Thy God shall be my God, she said to Naomi. Thy people, my people. And oh, that walk and that tenderness in her, what it wrought within her. Oh, of whom Boaz said, under whose, regarding Ruth, who had come to believe in God, under the shadow of thy wings hast thou come to trust. The shadow of thy wings as thou come to trust. Oh, that solemn event was sanctified, wasn't it? to the good of her soul. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. If that means we should then live in the tender fear of God, in thankfulness unto him, to walk in love as he hath loved us, to seek his will to be done, or to do what is far from sin as we can possibly be, to seek to be ruled by his word, by his commands. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Dear friends, there's many statutes, there's many precepts, there's many ways to which we are to follow the Lord. If we've not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Oh, how we need, don't we? Oh, to have the Spirit of the Lord to rule our hearts, govern our words and ways, that his grace may abound in every part, teach our tongues to sing his praise. And that's sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. And as the verse goes on, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. How do they know you have a hope within you? By your walk, by your conduct, by your conversation, how you live in this world. It will be evident to others whether you fear the Lord or not, in the way you conduct yourself. Or when Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin being judged because they'd healed that impotent man, and they sought to deal with them very unfavourably, they took note that they'd been with Jesus. Oh, how firm they were in the things of the truth concerning Jesus, seeking to do that which was his will to the honour and glory of his name, walking by faith and not by sight. Oh, dear friends, how do we walk? What's our conduct in life? Do people see us differently to others? Those who have no knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus? Those who perhaps mock or even curse the things of the truth of Christ? How do they see you walk? Do they notice there's a difference? How you speak? What you do? Oh, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. You don't do it with boasting and glory to yourself, oh, I'm better than you, I'm more righteous than you, in a proud and selfish way. No. It's really the way you walk humbly in the fear of the Lord. Why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell like Achan, were not salvation free? Oh, dear friends, how we should always be mindful of these things, to sanctify the Lord God in your heart, to all to the honour and glory of his name, him that hath called you by his grace and set his love upon you. And so in your conduct, oh, you walk in the fear of the Lord, seeking all to the honour and glory of his name. Peter in this chapter puts forth many things, doesn't he? Many things concerning one's walk in this life, as he does in other parts of his epistles. He speaks of husbands and wives living together. They should be in honour one with the other. The man, yes, taking the responsibilities and as the stronger one, and the wife, or he says, as the weaker vessel, but in love to a husband. And if that husband does not fully believe or does not believe at all, or that they may be won by the conversation of the wives, beholding your chaste conversation coupled with fear. What a witness the fear of the Lord can have, dear friends, on others, in our family, amongst those whom we have to mix with day by day, whether at home or at work or in the neighbourhood. To conduct oneself in accordance with the word of God, a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. And then concerning all, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. There may be those times of difficulties which arise, and people will come and perhaps grant you some suffering, some ridicule, as Peter has got here. But not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Oh, as we have been blessed in the knowledge of the love and pardon of God through Christ, so we should seek to walk in that way towards others, even though they may be unbelievers and raise things against us. As Peter says in another place, if those people rise against you, oh, commit it unto the Lord who judgeth righteously. It's a prayerful path, isn't that? Dear friends, that honours God. Oh, those prayers put up to him through Jesus Christ, knowing that he who is holy, he who is pure, oh, he will bring to pass all that is needful for you and deliver you in the times of trouble and difficulty, casting all your care upon him. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and live as near unto him as we possibly can, leaning upon Christ our beloved. Oh, dear friends, what exhortations we have, don't we, for the good of ourselves in this life. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, that they may be ashamed. Oh, commit it unto the Lord. He is able to deliver. Yes, call upon him in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify him. There's the sanctification of the trouble. Oh, dear friends, may we know more and more of these things. And that will cause us, dear friends, I'm sure, to grow in love to him because of his immense love and mercy to us. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Well, dear friends, that'll be our pathway, won't it? We shall die in the flesh, but not in the Spirit. Quickened by the Holy Spirit, who testifies of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Therefore, that pardon of our sins, that blotting out of our transgressions, dear friends, that's the sanctifying of our soul, being made holy in the sight of God. Sanctify the Lord your God in your heart, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. with meekness and fear. There's no room for self-will here, is there? There's no room here for the reign of pride and self-righteousness. Dear friends, this is a humble walk. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Dear friends, that means also to confess every sin. Oh, don't regard any sin in your heart, keeping it as if you can't manage your life without it. We have that solemn warning, don't we, through David. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. No. There's no sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts when we also have within our hearts those determinations of idolatry and covetousness, as we had this morning, and other breakings of the Ten Commandments, and we keep in them because in accordance with our own hearts and minds, that's what we feel we should do for our own benefit, for our own self, and our walk in this life for our own profit and entertainment or comfort, whatever it is. No. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He must be first. He must be foremost. He must be all and in all. Dear friends, in all aspects of our life, we're to seek, oh, that which will honour him and love him who has loved us, and to keep, oh, from all sin. And because of our earthly nature, which is still with us, our faults and failings, they will arise. We shall come short. Then sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Come boldly to the throne of grace, through Jesus Christ, who hath pardoned every sin, pouring out your heart before him. Tell him all the truth. Lord, I'm unclean. I need that cleansing fountain. I need that shed blood again. Difference, that's to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And there to obtain mercy, grace to help in the time of your need. And that's what you testify of your hope. Your hope you have in this life before others who ask you of it. Oh, dear friends, if they do, what a time it is to witness of that grace of God imparted unto you. And who can tell if that witness that you speak to others, the Lord will use for the good of their souls. That they may be won by your conversation, that is your conduct, and come to be a true follower of Jesus themselves, and to know the blessing of the sanctifying of their souls. Well, dear friends, what an exhortation this is. This morning so solemn. Under the law we are guilty. Under the law we shall be condemned. Under the law we shall be cast into hell fire. In that judgment day of the wrath of God for sin. But in Christ Jesus, oh, who hath borne the punishment instead, that valley of Achor becoming a door of hope, that valley of Achor for Achan was his death, solemn as it was, and so it will be ours in the day of judgment. But oh, that door of hope, that door of expectation, which hope means, which we hold on to by faith, that in Christ Jesus, oh, we shall be carried through that day of judgment and be called up higher into his presence. The sanctification of our soul through the shed blood of Christ that blots out all our transgressions because he loves us freely. Well, dear friends, is this not the object of your first desire? Oh, I pray and trust it is. that the Lord will cleanse you through his word, cleanse you through this truth, applied in the power of the Holy Ghost, that you be confirmed of one of his chosen people. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you in reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I think it's in the earlier chapter where Peter says, the Lord says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Then sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen.
Let us work.